Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, all things Ole Miss and MSU, coming to you for the next half hour or so. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, Parrish. Threw on my old job a little bit earlier this week. I felt like I was back at Rivals.com for a little while. Mississippi State picking up two football commitments on consecutive days, and two guys from our area. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But, yeah, I felt like I had my old job back there for a little while.
Well, you know, it happens, man. Jesus said, recruiting you have with you always. So you got to always be aware of those commitments coming in, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Folks, before we get there, I want to remind you about some other podcasts to check out from the Daily Journal. Be sure to click in with The Memo, our news podcast, all things Northeast Mississippi with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. That's coming to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here with you either Thursday or Friday, depending on what's going on. And we are glad to be with you today. Logan, let's jump right into it with those Mississippi State commits, not only from our area. One of them is like my neighbor. He's from around the block. So tell us about him.
Well, Jet Johnson committed to Mississippi State on Tuesday. He's a Tupelo inside linebacker and somebody kind of it's been on State's radar for quite some time. And obviously he grew up a big Mississippi State fan, comes from that type of family. He told me that they had been season ticket holders here in Starkville for the longest time. And he's going to make that transition from sitting in the stands to being on the sidelines in a couple of years. And he was really excited. You know, I don't talk to recruits a whole lot anymore. Like I said, you know, it was just, kind of see him in passing here and there, you know, with the new job with the Daily Journal. And it was neat to reach out and talk to somebody, kind of reconnect with them. Recruiting is not something I necessarily enjoy. You know, I love talking to high school players and see their excitement and that kind of stuff. But, you know, you also with the good, you get the bad. And, you know, I ran into a lot of bad in recruiting as well. Just some of the shady stuff that goes on, and yeah, I just didn't like any of that stuff. But you know, that was totally not the case with Jet Johnson. It was nice to hear somebody that was genuinely excited about his opportunity to play for a team that he's always grown up pulling for. So he was really excited. Couldn't have been a nicer kid on the phone. And you know, it's going to be exciting to see him kind of make that transition. You know, I've read about him in our paper for quite some time. You know, he's led Tupelo in tackles for the last two seasons, a sophomore and as a junior, and I'm sure he's looking forward to a big season coming up this year for his senior year. But it's a kid that had an opportunity to graduate early in December, so yeah, as soon as his senior season's done, he could graduate and move on to Mississippi State. But told me he kind of made the decision to come back and play basketball there at Tupelo. So he's going to stay for the spring semester, and, you know, you kind of applaud that as well. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, there's some good that comes with kids graduating early. You know, they get into spring practice and kind of get a jump start on their college careers. But, you know, they're missing out on some important life experiences like prom and graduation. And there's so many things that happen in that second semester of your senior year. So it was nice to see a kid make a mature decision like that as well. And then also the next day, a guy that recommitted to Mississippi State, a running back, four-star running back, Marcus Murphy from West Point. I mean, he's a guy that committed to Mississippi State last year, kind of started to waver a little bit back in January, backed off his commitment, and picked up a few more offers since then. Michigan and offered him since then, and several other schools. You know, he had some pretty big time offers, but ended up sticking with Mississippi State. He was the MVP of the Class 5A state championship game last year. Played a little quarterback, played a little running back, kind of did a little bit of everything for West Point's offense. But you know, Mississippi State's had a lot of luck with those West Point kids in the past, and, you know, he liked the proximity. Obviously, you know, West Point's not that far away from Starkville, and he talked about his family and friends being able to come over here and see him play. So, you know, they were able to get him back into the fold, and he's kind of, you know, one of the headliners in this class. You know, Mississippi State's had a good bit of luck, you know, in this class. Malik Heath out of Callaway and Marcus Murphy are two of the top players in the state, and Mississippi State's both got both of those players on board. Right now they're sitting at 8 commitments. That's got them ranked 26th in the country, 5th in the SEC. So, you know, here it is, the early part of May, and we're talking recruiting, Parrish, and it's a long way until February.
Well, and Ole Miss with just one commitment right now, Quentin Bivens, a defensive tackle from Wayne County High School. Obviously, you know, just the NCAA cloud and the unknowns of what will come from that obviously going to affect Ole Miss recruiting, and just one commitment for the Rebels right now. Logan, I know Jet Johnson grew up a Mississippi State fan. I know he's got a brother there. I know that his dad went to State. But did he tell you about the Ole Miss part of his family? That's his mother's side of the family. And last week when the Rebel road trip made its Tupelo stop, Jet's mother was in attendance, and Hugh Freeze kind of played off that a little bit before he started his speech. He gave his phone to Jet's mother and told her to let him know and interrupt him if a certain linebacker called or had anything he wanted to say during that time. So, you know, Ole Miss felt like it was in good position with Jet Johnson. I've known that family a long time, so no surprise to see him commit to Mississippi State. I know that he has, as you mentioned, a long history with the Bulldogs and being in the stands there. So just a, you know, a good kid from a good family, and hope to see those guys do well. Shifting gears a little bit, Logan. Well, let's don't shift gears. Let's stay on football a little bit before we get to baseball. Two big baseball series coming up this weekend. We'll get to those in just a moment. But let's talk. Let's finish up spring football a little bit, Logan. Give me three things. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll start with Ole Miss since we're coming off the MSU recruiting. But let's talk about three things that we think will be quickest areas of focus, the biggest things that these coaches will want to look at quickly when camp begins in August. I guess the three areas they want to fix or improve the most, I think, for Ole Miss, of course, it starts with the linebackers. That was such an area of focus last year when the Rebels gave up 246.3 yards a game on the ground. We heard coaches talk about run fits all season. And sometimes, Logan, that's something that you might hear in August or September or maybe October. You hear these guys say, we really got to improve these run fits. These players have to stay in position. You got to be where you are supposed to be within the play that's called to give yourself the best chance to make the tackle. We were still hearing about run fits in November from Ole Miss. It was something they never got a handle on last year. Run defense was a problem all season long. And what we keep hearing from Wes McGriff, the new defensive coordinator, and these players, is that they believe they're going to be able to do more with less. You know, sounds like they could all work in newspaper, more with less. But actually, they're going to scale things back. Fewer defensive play calls, McGriff says, and fewer responsibilities for these guys. Just kind of get them really good at certain responsibilities. And the big thing with the linebackers is Dietrich Bing Dukes. Okay, the plan is for him at middle linebacker to not get out of the box much at all, but to stay in the box. Well, that's great if you can pull that off. I'm sure there will be creative offensive coordinators along the way who will find a matchup that will force Bing Dukes to get out and cover in space. When they do that, they will have an advantage. But if Bing Dukes can stay in the box like Wesley McGriff wants him to, like Bing Dukes himself is excited to do, then you know, he can be pretty good at the position. He's a very physical player, very hard tackler. You know, if he is in position, can stay in the box and fit the run game like they want him to, then they can improve at that position. And I think they're going to be pretty good at the outside linebacker spot with the starter, with DeMarcus Gates, a senior now, a kind of a 6'3", kind of a rangy kid, covers a lot of ground, makes some plays. You know, Ole Miss can be pretty good with its two starters. Depth at linebacker is still something that's kind of a moving target. They played a lot of different people in the spring. Seems like Willie Hibbler, who signed as a tight end a few years ago, now a third-year sophomore, was making some strides before he got hurt near the end. Hibbler will figure into that depth. Could be that a freshman. They signed six linebackers. One of them, Breon Dixon, really turned some heads, but he was with the defensive backs, playing at that star position, the nickel back. They called it Husky last year. That's where Dixon starts out, and he's running number two right now behind A.J. Moore. And speaking of linebackers, it looks like there will be just two on the field. McGriff came in talking about a 4-3 base defense. Really didn't see much of that in the spring at all. It was mostly a 4-2-5, which gives you just two linebackers in name. But again, that fifth defensive back so often plays up near the line of scrimmage like an outside linebacker. So, you know, not a whole lot of difference there in a 4-2-5 and a 4-3. And, you know, when they change it around, they can go bigger with an extra linebacker. But just finding those guys right now and identifying who can make plays at linebacker will be one of the first things that Wesley McGriff will want to accomplish when camp gets started. I think Hugh Freeze and McGriff will also want to see where they stand with their injured players. Exactly where are they with Kendarius Webster at cornerback and Eric Swinney at running back, two guys injured in the season opener against Florida State last year, both of them with torn ACLs. For Swinney, it was the second major injury in his college career on just one play. You know, they thought he would play as a running back, as a true freshman in 15, and a foot injury kind of forced him to redshirt. It was okay because they had a lot of bodies at the position there. But he took that redshirt in 15, came back, had a really good spring in 16, was figuring to be the number two running back last year. A lot of high hopes and expectations for Eric Swinney, and he gets injured on his first college carry. So how does he respond from that injury? How does he come back? He went through everything in spring, dressed out, went through all the practices, but did not go through any contact. Kendarius Webster was not that far along. He is expected to be ready when they get back on the field in August. Can he come back as the type of player, the cornerback, good single cover guy that he was when he got injured against Florida State last year? Not only did he get injured against Florida State last year, he really was coming off a good off season of strength and conditioning. And Logan, I don't get caught up a lot in the strength and conditioning, bigger, faster, stronger talk, you know, because that's just kind of the talking point of off season for everybody every year. You know, we always hear about what a great off season all of these players have had. You could see it in Kendarius Webster. Last August in training camp, you could see the physical changes on his frame. He really was poised for what they thought would be a breakout year at cornerback. If he can return as that level of player, they can be really good at cornerback. With Webster in the mix, with what they think they have, and Miles Hartsfield moving from safety to cornerback, with Jalen Jones, a sophomore, making that year one to year two step, I think there's a lot of potential for them at cornerback. A lot of it depends on how Kendarius Webster responds from his torn ACL. And the third thing I think that they'll really want to see when they get more physical and maybe have more contact, and again, this is just not something that you get a lot during practice, so this might go into the first week of play, the season opener. I think they want to see exactly where they stand with this offensive line. Lots of experience returning among the starters, lots of bodies among the reserves, but not as much experience. But just they have so many options at this position right now, players that they know they can trust because they have been in the games, or players that they think they can trust, that they have developed. You know, guys who have been in the background, redshirt freshmen now with a little bit of time in the program, a little bit of time in that conditioning program. I think they have a chance to be good on the offensive line, and if they are, if they identify those eight or nine guys that can play, that they can count on, and if they come to know this Phil Longo system like they think they will, I just think they have a chance to be good on the line this year. And, Logan, you look at offensive line play on any great team, and while you might have a star wide receiver who is a freshman or a sophomore or a running back who is still somewhat new to college football, the best offensive lines, these are guys who are juniors, are seniors, fifth-year guys. You know, maybe there's a transfer in the mix, a JUCO kid who you know, comes in having played some football. Most of these great offensive lines are not going to be new to the game. And Ole Miss is recruited to this position and has set itself up now with a lot of guys with some experience and some other guys with some ability behind them. So I think that's something that they'll want to get a read on as quickly as they can as well, offensive line play. So if you're Dan Mullen, what do you think you want to identify quickly in camp?
Well, I'm going to start off with the offensive line because that's something he didn't really get a really good look at back during the spring. They had four offensive linemen that didn't participate much at all and were coming off injuries and surgeries back during the spring. Michael Story, Deion Calhoun, Daryl Williams, Elkton Jenkins, all those guys are expected to contribute in a major way on the offensive line this upcoming season. Didn't have those guys available during the spring. They were out there. Some of them went through a couple of drills. I don't think they did a whole lot of contact. Michael Story and Daryl Williams were injured during the season last year. Daryl Williams obviously had the big neck injury during the Kentucky game and never dressed out after that. But he's expected to make a full recovery from that. And luckily, you know, it was a scary scene. That's one of those ones where they bring the stretcher out and you don't really know, but you know, he was able to get feeling back and even that night, and he came back to Starkville that next day, had to take a special flight. They kept him in the hospital in Lexington overnight, and he returned to Starkville the next day. So some good news with that, and we'll see if he's able to resume his career once he's able to take contact. But, you know, two of those guys, Elkton Jenkins and Deion Calhoun, were starters last year, didn't have either of those guys available during the spring. And obviously Michael Story played a good bit of football and started a few games last year as well. So didn't get a really good look at what your offensive line could be. The only starter that was actually out there this spring from a year ago was Martinez Rankin. And instead of starting at left tackle like he did last season, he was playing center. Because that's a position Mississippi State's got to fill. They got to find somebody to snap the football come August, and they don't have anybody. Nobody on this team has snapped the ball in a collegiate game, and Martinez Rankin got his hand there this spring. I don't know that he's going to stick there because Martinez Rankin, looking at some of the 2018 draft projections, Martinez Rankin, some of those draft projections have him going in the first round as a left tackle or right tackle. So, you know, I don't know that it's somebody that's got a first-round talent if you're going to move him to center. But, you know, he obviously got his chance during the spring. You know, I really think they want to get Elkton Jenkins and Deion Calhoun some snaps there at center as well whenever they come back. I think Deion Calhoun may have a chance, probably the best chance of all of them, to be Mississippi State starting center. But that's just kind of me based on his body frame and just kind of how his build. I don't know if he has the ability to snap the ball at all, and obviously that's a key component in finding a center. But, you know, right now they've got to figure out what their offensive line rotation is. I mean, it's all kind of out of whack. And, you know, one thing the spring did was help some of those younger offensive linemen get some extended reps with all those starters and upperclassmen being out of the mix. It created some opportunity for some of these younger guys, even some junior college players that came in. They got Tommy Champion and Tyree Phillips coming in from junior college this spring. So those guys got kind of an opportunity to get a jump start on their careers and get a lot of reps this spring. So that should help them as they go into the fall and kind of give them a jump start of where they were at. But, you know, they've got to figure out that offensive line rotation. Probably the second thing Mississippi State needs to figure out is who's going to be their kicker. I mean, obviously, kicking has been a struggle the last several years for Mississippi State. They haven't offered a scholarship to kickers at all, and Weston Graves, their kicker for the last couple of seasons, really wasn't that great of a kicker, but at least he was out there and had some experience. He had a back injury. It cut his career short. So Mississippi State did offer a kicker in the recruiting process. They offered one kicker that was committed to Georgia Tech at the time. And Mississippi State was able to court him along and got him to back off the commitment to Georgia Tech. And Mississippi State fans got all excited because they were going to get a kicker. And as soon as he backed off that commitment to Georgia Tech, Alabama came in and offered him a blue shirt, which I wasn't even aware was
even a thing. I've never heard of that color.
we hear gray shirts and red shirts, but a blue shirt, which is he's going to sit out for an entire year before he can come to Alabama. So it's something I'd never heard of, but yeah, that's what Alabama's offered him, and he accepted it. And you know, like I said, it's so one of those crazy things. So Mississippi State went throughout the recruiting process without getting a kicker. They do say that, you know, the number one punter in the country that Mississippi State was able to sign, Tucker Day, is able to kick field goals. So I don't know, you know, that's not really what Mississippi State was after when they signed Tucker Day, but that's probably what they're going to get. I think they're still courting a junior college kicker, trying to get him to walk on. They're still courting him right now, and I don't know if they'll actually get him in or not. But they're going to need some help in the kicking department, because it's terrible. You know, from what I saw in the spring, I mean, they were missing extra points, and during the spring game, it was just the center, the holder, and the kicker out there. I mean, they didn't even put the offensive line or defensive line out there to go against the kicks and during the spring game, and they were missing extra points and little chip shot field goals. So it's pretty bad. You know, I saw on the internet this week that a kicker from Florida made an 81 yard field goal, you know, and Mississippi State's struggling with extra points. So it's really just not the same. You know, Mississippi State does have the nation's number one kicker committed for next year, but that's not going to help them out this year. So they're going to need some, immediate help, and I don't know where that's going to come from.
Well,
but
maybe they can just go for two every time, like South Panola did so successfully for so many years.
Honestly, I think that would probably be about as successful. You know, at the same time, you know, field goals are an issue. I mean, it's so tough to get into the red zone sometimes on some of these SEC defenses, and you know, when you don't have a field goal team, I mean, it's like you're leaving points on the field. You know, Dan Mullen has offered, or he signed one kicker the entire time he's been at Mississippi State, and that was Sean Brockley, a junior college kicker, his very first recruiting class. And he has not signed a true kicker since then. I mean, I know they had Devin Bell a few years ago, but they signed Devin Bell as a punter, and he kicked, you know, field goals as well. But yeah, they signed him as a punter. So Sean Brockley is the only one, you know, throughout the whole time that he's offered a scholarship to. But obviously he has seen the need and does have a kicker on board for next year. But like I said earlier, there's a long time till February. But probably the other thing is still sticking on the offensive end is Mississippi State's got to develop some of those young wide receivers. You know, losing Fred Ross last year, you know, who was kind of Mississippi State's go-to receiver. You know, they've got some guys that probably fill that role. I mean, Donald Gray is coming off a great season. Gabe Miles is coming off a disappointing season, but obviously has had a good career. Those two are upperclassmen. They'll be seniors this year, but really some underclassmen coming in since behind those guys. They signed three 6'4" receivers in the 2016 recruiting class. You know, Osiris Mitchell, Reggie Todd, Jamal Couch. And they really need those guys to kind of take a step forward. Jamal Couch played a little bit last year. Is a big guy, 6'4", 230 pounds. Osiris Mitchell, 6'4", 210. Reggie Todd, 6'4", 204. You saw Reggie Todd a good bit in the spring game this year. He's a guy that was committed to play basketball at Arizona State and actually had signed with the Sun Devils. to play basketball there, and backed off his commitment, decided to, he wanted to go the football route, signed with Mississippi State late in the process. Same thing with Osiris Mitchell. He signed with Mississippi State last summer as well. So, you know, those are guys that they need to step up. I mean, obviously they're big targets, can kind of stretch the field, or big red zone targets too. And they need production out of those guys to kind of help fill that spot on the field. But, you know, that's if you ask me three areas, that's what it is. It's offensive line, kicking, and some of those young receivers stepping up.
All right, shifting gears, let's talk baseball a little bit. The Rebels at Florida this weekend, going for a second consecutive road series win against a top 15 ranked opponent. Logan, the standings right now with nine games left, you look at the Western Division, Ole Miss is fifth, but just three games back. That's not many games separating the top five teams. I think for Ole Miss still, it's about trying to get to that magic number of 15 conference wins. They have nine SEC games remaining. They have 11 conference wins. It's 15 with if they get to 15, then the RPI will take care of itself. And that's just the number that traditionally gives you a lot of confidence in terms of getting that at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. If they do that, if they make the tournament, it will be the 15th time in 17 years under Mike Bianco, which is really a remarkable record of consistency. But to do that, they're still going to have to win some road games. It's been an odd schedule for Ole Miss, in the sense that the last four series for the Rebels, the last four SEC series, three of them have been on the road or will be on the road. They got off to a good start last week, winning a couple of games at Arkansas. James MacArthur was outstanding in game one, eight innings, just one hit allowed. Ole Miss got some offense in that game and won 9-1. And then Ryan Rollison, another great game from the freshman left-hander, in the first of what was a doubleheader on Friday. But in the first game, Ole Miss getting a great game from Rollison and good bullpen work and winning the series actually in two games. They dropped the third game of that series. But if they can get that kind of start from MacArthur again starting Friday in Gainesville, game times in Gainesville are 5:30, 5:30, and 1. The 1 o'clock game on Sunday will air on the SEC Network. You know, if they get those starters going like that, and Rollison has really kind of become their number two guy, if they get great outings from MacArthur and Rollison, they'll have a good chance to take the series. Ole Miss and Florida, Florida ranked number 7 right now by D1Baseball.com. Very similar teams. Ole Miss is number 1 in pitching in the SEC at 3.03 with the earned run average. Florida's number 3 at 3.17. Florida is number 13 in hitting at 257. Ole Miss number 14 at 256. So, you know, if the games play out the way the numbers indicate they could, it would be really a beat riders kind of game, Logan. It sounds like some fast baseball for Gainesville this weekend.
Yeah, you love to see those, especially the last two weekends that I've had. Mississippi State's played a couple of doubleheaders in those, and they've been some very long baseball games. So I spent a lot of time at the ballpark. Don't have to worry about that the next 2 weeks for Mississippi State. They're on the road. No midweek games in those as well. Mississippi State plays at Texas A&M this week, so that'd be another top 15 matchup. Mississippi State lost its series with Auburn last weekend. State won the first game, actually beat Auburn's ace, Keegan Thompson, and was pretty impressive in that game. And they bumped scratched the Sunday game and played a doubleheader on Saturday because of weather. And Mississippi State, their pitching finally just ran out. I mean, you've kind of been waiting on that to happen. And obviously, Mississippi State's pitching staff is spread thin with all the injuries that they've had. I mean, they're starting their Saturday starter is a guy that they intended to be their starting first baseman this year. I mean, they've brought Jake Mangum in at different times to pitch and be their Sunday starter. And you know, obviously, he's the SEC, the reigning SEC batting champion. And you know, then they've converted outfielder Brant Blaylock into a reliever. So that's kind of just where their pitching staff is right now. They've They've got one starter in Connor Pilkington, and he's a legit Friday night guy. He's probably going to be a first-round draft pick in the 2018 draft. I mean, he's that good, a big, tall, left-handed guy from the coast, and has a good pitches, good pitch selection, has a very good fastball. But, you know, outside of that, you know, you're kind of piecing things together from there on out on Saturday and Sunday for a starting role. And, you know, they've got some good pieces at the back end of the bullpen. They've got a good setup guy in Riley Self, and, you know, has the nation's top closer. And so that's kind of, you know, Spencer Price, the closer. And that's kind of just where they're at right now. They're kind of piecing it together from there, and it kind of caught up with them against Auburn last week. It was actually just the third series Mississippi State has lost in the last 2 years. They lost one series last year. They were swept by Texas A&M, and that was the only series they lost, only SEC series they lost last year. And then you fast forward to this year, they were swept by Arkansas to start the SEC play, and then they lose last weekend to Auburn. But you know, this weekend against Texas A&M's ranked 15th in the country. But Mississippi State has some Ole Miss's series with Arkansas last weekend actually helped Mississippi State out. And State was tied with first place with Arkansas, so that helped them out. But Mississippi State's locked in a three-way tie in the SEC with Kentucky and Auburn. So they're tied for first, and it's kind of amazing the job that Henning Canizero has done with this group. Just with all the injuries, the attrition, you know, you take into effect the 11 or 12 players they lost last year to the Major League Draft, and, you know, he's kind of piecing things together this year, and everything he's done has worked so far. You just kind of was waiting on that pitching staff to, you know, could it hold up long enough, and they sustained another injury last week. Graham Ashcraft was lost for the year with a hip injury. So things are just falling apart, and you don't know how long he can keep things together. But you know, so far so good. He's kind of looking at last weekend's doubleheader as just one day. They had one bad day at the ballpark, and they lost the series. So he's trying to get that message across to the team. They will be without second baseman Hunter Stovall this weekend. Hunter Stovall got hit in the hand last Friday night. It was a fracture. He's fractured his hand. He's going to miss the next 2 weeks for sure. Canizero is hopeful to have him back for the LSU series to end the year. And if not that series, they expect to have him back probably for the SEC tournament. But he's kind of the spark plug of this team. You know, a guy at the bottom of the lineup that gets on base and plays a really good second base. He's a former Mr. Baseball in the state of Alabama, or Gatorade Player of the Year, one of those two. But definitely going to miss him over the next couple of weeks. Going to have to make some moves, either moving Luke Alexander from third to second and putting Harrison Bragg at third, or they could move Cody Brown from the outfield back to second base and then insert Elijah McNamee or Brant Blaylock out in the outfield to replace him. But, you know, Mississippi State's just kind of piecing things together, and it's all hands on deck, and that's kind of the attitude they've had over the last few weeks. And so far, so good, it's actually worked.
Well, speaking of injuries, Ole Miss could be without center fielder Ryan Olenek in Gainesville. Olenek will undergo concussion testing after he was involved in a collision with shortstop Gray Kessinger in the early innings of the Rebels' 5-3 win over the alma mater, Louisiana Monroe, my alma mater, on Wednesday evening. So we'll see how it plays out for Olenek. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell every Wednesday and Friday, and Prep Rally with Blake Morgan and Gene Phelps every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another edition of Double Coverage.